That's what he did. As you who have family obviously know that when you bring your first child home, it changes everything. Still remember my brother who was always very smug and smarter than I am. We had children before him that he always told me that he will do everything different and that will not change their lifestyle at all when they have their first child. And then the first child came. Boy, did it change his life. But what an amazing story. What an amazing story that we revisit year after year, Christmas Eve, and during the Christmas season. A signpost to how to understand God. If you read all these stories and all the people who are involved in this birth of Jesus Christ, it is this signpost to show us what we need to know about God and how to understand Him. The sovereign of the cosmos was born in relatively unremarkable circumstances. He was born into a lowly family, conceived in the womb of an unwed woman. She belonged to people who were disposable and a disposable underclass of an powerful empire. And that's how God, the God of Scripture, chose to identify Himself. To identify with the vulnerable, the obscure, the lonely. In a book that I cherish pretty much from Rodney Stark, a sociologist who looked at the development of Christianity in the early years, writes the following. He said, the most outlandish and revolutionary phrase written in first century Rome was, "For God so loved the world." Because the pagan world would not have a catcher's mitt for such a phrase. In a world where gods were not worshipped for their virtue and character, but placated for the reasons of personal gain, revenge, conquest, or safety. The characteristics of their gods were selfishness, pride, lust, and greed. They had no category for a self-giving God who loved the world to such an extent that He would give Himself as a sacrifice. And this morning, today, we would like to meet the parents, the earthly parents, through whom God became man. And I want to focus on one characteristic both of them shared. And also look at the benefit that this characteristic has if we follow in their footsteps and imitate this characteristic. And that is a surrendered life. A surrendered life. Surrender always sounds so negative. It has a negative connotation. It sounds a lot like defeat, doesn't it? Being driven into a corner and not knowing what to do anymore, so you just throw up your arms in the air and you surrender. I thought maybe a better word would be submission, to submit, because it's more active, it's more involved, it's more like I make a decision. But regardless how we phrase it, it comes down to the same posture that Mary and Joseph both display. It is this surrendered life, to give up control of my life, of my future. Both, as you know, and as we have shortly heard about it this morning, both had a special encounter with God. Joseph in a dream. He dreamt about all of this and had found out about the pregnancy of his fiancée Mary and then had a dream where God appeared to him and he must have known that this is God who talks to him at this moment. And Mary had a visit of angels. God had a special assignment for both of them to be the earthly parents of His Son. And that changed their life, their future plans forever. And it's so interesting to see how both react to these encounters with God. We don't hear anything out of Joseph's mouth, but we read about his actions. He simply did what was told. Mary, however, had something to say, like women usually do. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled to me. You may have had a life-changing experience sometime throughout the course of your life. Maybe just recently. Maybe it's not this direct encounter with God like Mary and Joseph had, this dream or visitation of an angel. But you may recall these moments when you had a special moment in your life where you knew, this will change the direction of my life forever. How did you respond? Did you ever surrender to the inevitable? Giving up, fighting, you may have fought and fought and fought against something and then you surrendered. It was just, you were just done with fighting. You knew you couldn't change it. You knew you could not muster the strength to change the situation, to change the outcome of a certain situation. You just surrendered. You gave in. How did it feel? Well, in this story, when we talk about a surrendered life, it's not about surrendering into passivity. God will put us to work, as we know in this story. God comes, God shows up, and then he puts us to work. Surrendering is not surrendering by sitting down and putting your hands down and just let things happen. It's surrendering to his will and to his plan and to his way of doing things and of his way how I'm supposed to lead my life. A surrendered life is a posture. It's a posture before God. It is something that God requires of those who follow him as disciples, who pick up their cross and deny themselves and follow him. So my question would be, why would I do that? Why would I surrender to someone? Not to just something, but to someone. Why would I do that? So let me give you three reasons why a surrendered life is the best life that you can live. The first would be because I journey with an awesome God. That would be the first reason of living a surrendered life, a life submitted to God and surrendered entirely to him, because it opens the opportunity to explore an awesome God. Both Joseph and Mary could look back to a wealth of testimonies of their ancestors of this kind of God and what kind of God he is. They heard numerous stories of how a God would provide for his people. They grew up in this environment where the stories of old were told over and over and over again. They heard about it in the synagogue. They heard about it from childhood on, how this God provided for them, for their people. In fact, it was the identity, it was their identity to be the people of God, where God showed up more than once, over and over again. But you know, it's always a difference. It's always different if you hear something and to experience something. You may have grown up in a Christian home. You may have grown up in an environment where you have heard the stories of the Bible over and over and over again, where you know about God is faithful and God provides. But it's an entirely different story if you are at the threshold of a life where you have to test that, where you have to figure this out, whether this is true, whether he will come through for you. And that's exactly where Mary and Joseph were. They knew these stories from of old where God told Noah after he rescued him from the flood, I will never curse the ground for man's sake again. Although the imaginations of the man's heart is evil from youth, I will not ever destroy every living thing as I have done before. God proved himself faithful to Abraham when he separated from Lot and when Abraham obviously took the worst piece of land that was left over. And then God showed up and said, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as dust of the earth, so that you can count. So if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise and walk to the length and breadth of the land, because I will give it to you. And then you hear the story of Abraham, how he experienced God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And it continued with his people when the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. It says later on in Deuteronomy, when the law was repeated one more time, for 40 years the Lord our God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn on you, out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. And they could remember Psalms. Many of them, how they were singing the Psalms in worship in those days and reciting them by heart and talking about the faithfulness of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 34, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who see the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 81 verse 10, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. They knew the wisdom literature. They grew up with this as well, as they were taught, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, for he will direct your path. They knew these stories. You may know these stories. You may know all the Bible verses that talk about this God, but have you tried them? Mary and Joseph's journey was not a walk in the park. Living in a close-knit community where shame was dominating the reputation of your family, they certainly messed up big time. Having a child out of wedlock that you could not explain other than just telling them about this miracle was something that was hard to live with. Political unrest which led them to Bethlehem. No special royal treatment when they arrived in Bethlehem. The threat that their child will be murdered and killed. Living as refugees in a different country in Egypt for several years. No, that was not a walk in the park. As our life with God is not a walk in the park, it is your and my life with all the obstacles, with all the challenges that you and I are facing. With your children, your husband, your wife, your parents, your friends, your work, your financial situation, your relationships, it's your life. But in this life, God wants to walk with you as I'm learning a surrendered life, a life under his guidance and under his leadership. Where do you have to let go of managing your life? Where do you have to submit and say, God, here I am. Do with me as you will. Have you ever done that? Maybe this Christmas season would be a good time to bow before that manger, that Christ child, and say, Lord, here I am. Do with me as you will. The second benefit of a surrendered life is because I can live free from fear. It's not just that I serve an awesome God and journey with an awesome God in an adventure that is just amazing to experience because God takes care of me. It's also that I can also then let go and live free from fear. Fear has to do with control or lack thereof. We live with fear because we cannot control our circumstances. So that's why we fear, because we are afraid of what might happen to us, what could happen to us, and that we might not be prepared to do and to do anything to respond to that. And so we live in this circle of fear. Fear of being broken into a house, so we buy alarm systems. Fear of being robbed, so we prepare that we are not being, that we are safe. Fear of becoming sick, that's why we swallow vitamins. Fear of losing my life, or that of a loved one. Fear of giving up my comforts. Fear of being broke. And the list could go on and on and on. Fear of not passing the test. Fear of not getting the job. Fear of losing the job. Fear, fear, fear. And if you would really take time to sit down for a while and just see how much fear is dictating you and how much of a slave driver it is, you would be surprised. Listen, there's nothing wrong about fear itself. It is a God-given reaction to an unknown situation. It's normal. But fear is a bad master. It's a bad master that masters or dictates my life and everything I do. And the reason of fear mostly is the lack of control, that I want to control my life and the circumstance of my life and the outcomes of my life. However, a surrendered life is a life where I submit or surrender the outcomes of my life to an awesome God, to an awesome, all-sufficient, all-caring God. I just give Him the outcome of my life. And based on what I know about God and how I'm experiencing Him, I'll be able to relax and leave outcomes up to Him. Mary and Joseph experienced God's care throughout the entire treacherous journey that they had to take. God always showed up at the right time. God always provided whenever was need. God always was there. Wasn't He there in your life as well? So do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What are you afraid of right now? What's the greatest fear? Ever faced it? Ever addressed it? Ever named it? How about giving this to Him, to our awesome, wonderful, outrageous, loving God, and say, God, here it is. Take this fear away, this cloud that lingers over me, because in the end, I can control very little about my life. You see, the mark of a true worry-free life is playfulness. I experience it every time when my grandkids come over. No worry in the world. And what marks them is playfulness. There's a playfulness to everything they see, everything they do. It's just playfulness. And I often wonder, where did we lose it? To live with this kind of playfulness, not because we are irresponsible, but we live with the care of parents or my Father in heaven who cares for me so perfectly that I can actually live in the moment right now. Enjoy this moment. Soak it in. Live in it. And not live tomorrow already with the things that I cannot control, that I fear. Or yesterday, the things that I cannot let go that still pursue me. But that I can live today, here, right now, and enjoy it and soak it in. Living a surrendered life because I live with an awesome God. Living a surrendered life because it's a worry-free, fear-free life. And lastly, living a surrendered life because I can be content in all circumstances. I will learn to be content. Contentment asks the question, content with what? Because we often use that word and then don't modify it and explain it because we have to. Content with what? What makes you content? Contentment is simply not wanting. Not desiring, not complaining. See, that's exactly what Mary says with her words. I am the Lord's servant. May the word to me be fulfilled. No complaining, no negotiating. No saying, maybe God, you may have looked at this and maybe you've forgotten about that. No, it says, God, here I am. It's okay. It's okay. Joseph responded by obedience. That's a non-word version of contentment. Obedience. Just do what the Lord says. No discussion, no negotiations. Be content means to be at peace where I find myself in life. Why? Because I have an awesome God who watches over me. Because the Lord is my shepherd and I have everything that I need. Or as it's worded in Philippians again, where Paul talks about his own journey of life and contentment, where he says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Content with what? Content with God. Content with knowing that He is here right now with me. And that in His hands my life is fine. Does it mean I cannot be ambitious anymore? Well, sure, but my question again is, ambitious about what? Ambitious about my own power, my own advancement, my own influence, my own wealth? Jesus tells us to be ambitious about the reign of God in this world. That's what I can be ambitious for, work for, live for. Contentment means doing what God tells me to do, even if it poses a disadvantage for me, even if my life will be at risk, because I can rely on an awesome God and I'm not worrying. With God, I have everything I need. I can go through dark valleys without fear because He is with me. He fights for me and walks with me. I can face enemies, whatever they may be, that might not be people, but maybe fears that you struggle with, anxieties that you have, circumstances that were threatening. I can face enemies because His mercy and His goodness chases me down. And He will always make sure that I have enough because my cup overflows. I can even be fearless when I face the end of my earthly journey, because He will always be with me and I will be in His house forever. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that we learn from Mary and Joseph what it means to live a surrendered life, to just be content with knowing that You are there. Your will is never bad, is always good. What You require of us may cost us sacrifices, but in the end it will always pay off, because we live with an awesome God. We can submit to You and surrender to You all our fears and the outcomes of our lives, and we can live content, because in You we have everything we need. Thank You that we can have those examples before us who have lived this life before us. And as we enter into the remaining Christmas season, we pray that You will create the same attitude and posture in us to be surrendered to an awesome King and an awesome God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.